Blog Talk Radio.
Unless you have been away on extended vacation, you probably know of the horrific, tragic, and tragic situation occurring on the southern U.S. border, where immigrants cross the border, are arrested, and then had their children taken away. Now, even though the executive order that ripped children from the arms of their parents has been reversed, the hunt for nearly 2,500 children still goes on. And with it has generated cries of immorality and national shame as decisions made by the president have outraged Pope Francis, political officials, and every single living First Lady, including his own wife, Melania. Where is your voice in this national crisis? What do you feel? How do you speak out? And do you know how to speak out? Well, today's show will talk about how you find your voice in the public conversation of today. We'll help you to guide your conversations so that you can become a respected go-to person when others are too afraid to speak up. Your voice really does matter, and we'll explore the many ways that you can use your own mouthpiece for worldwide change. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. We are glad that you've joined us today. We have improved our audio capabilities, so I am broadcasting from my studio home office with my Heil microphone, and hopefully the sound quality is a lot better than it has been over the past decade, because I've actually been broadcasting on Blog Talk for about 10 years, so we've upped our game and definitely moving forward. I'd like to first share some activities that are going on, and all of this information either is currently at my website or will be at the website by tomorrow morning, the end of today. First, this is the continuation of Student Safety Month, the month that I created at the death of my son. The accidental death of my son, talked about it pretty extensively with last week's show on June 14th, the actual day that he passed away 21 years ago. But we created a month of commemoration that really can be used any time of the year called Student Safety Month. There is a complete packet, an information guide that you can get free of charge at my website. There are a couple of videos there as well, and it's a way for you to help keep our young people safe throughout the holiday season, the summer season, when they're in school, out of school, in a way that will make them mindful of the decisions that they make and the impact that their decisions have should a tragedy like this happen or if other things happen to them. So we want to keep young people safe, and I would encourage you to go on over to my website. Very easy, my name, carolcopelandthomas.com. That's Carol with an E, carolcopelandthomas.com. And on the homepage, you will see a click-through throughout the beginning of June, the first part of June, and throughout probably the first part of July. You'll be able to go right to Student Safety Month, the page that all the information is on. It's there 12 months a year, 24/7, so you can access it at any time. That's for Student Safety Month. Now, we're gearing up for our upcoming multicultural conference, the 12th conference that we'll be holding, and this whole theme about finding your voice is going to be a real critical component of our 12th multicultural conference. It will take place on Thursday, November 1st. That's Thursday, November 1st from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Mass College of Art and Design. I'm excited because they have signed back up to be a co-sponsor of our event, a very important partner, and they have a beautiful facility in Boston. So if you are anywhere in New England, or you can definitely fly in, because we've had people from California, from all parts of the state, Maryland, et cetera, to come to our conference on November 1st. We'd love for you to come. Mass College of Art and Design is going to co-host it. It's our 12th multicultural conference, all about multiculturalism and diversity, which is definitely a part of our decisions today. And many of the stories that we see, and you'll learn an awful lot about your responsibility, your roles, and how you can find your voice by being there. Now, between now and June 30th, we have special pricing. So it's a great time to register between now and the 30th. And again, all this will be at the website by tomorrow. You can click through and register for only $99. The price will go up significantly on July 1st, and then will also go up after Labor Day. So this is the best time to register with our very early bird prices, $99. And you'll be able to register right at the website, carolcopelandthomas.com. Also at that website is the information about my online coaching program, Online Coaching Academy, MSS Coaching Academy. I'm excited about the people who I'm working with from all over the country. Again, it's all online, and you can be a part of it, and you can have a free 45-minute session with me to determine if it's a good fit, what your goals and aspirations are, and how we can work together. So, again, at the website, you can go, and shortly we will put a link where you can click, look at the schedule for the next 10 days or so, and hop on board and meet with me for 45 minutes, all at glennthomas.com. Wanted to share that with you. So, unless you have been away, out of town, or you have been ill, or you just don't really care, for the rest of us, this news story that has grown big legs and is just moving forward is something, a topic of discussion that has hit home to many of us. Now, again, you know that I've lost a child, so children and the separation component is just devastating, I think, for everybody. So let me just refresh your memory and just let you know what's taking place for those who have been busy and you really don't know what's going on. In April, sometime in April, the President of the United States signed a memorandum or an executive order declaring two things. Number one is that everyone crossing the border without papers, et cetera, were committing a criminal act or a misdemeanor. This is on the southern border. I'm not sure if this applies to the Canadian border, and that's an important distinction. But on the southern border, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, et cetera, anyone crossing without papers, A, was deemed a criminal. Regardless if they were seeking political asylum or not, they were deemed a criminal. And number two, there was a decision made to change the policy so that their children were automatically taken from them. So these are people who are coming largely from Guatemala, coming from El Salvador, Mexico, other countries, but heavily from Guatemala, Honduras, heavily from El Salvador, because of the underlying issues that are taking place in their respective countries. We'll talk about that in a minute. So that is, those are the facts. That's what's taking place. And I say that because it is very important when you start these conversations with other people to make sure you have the facts straight. And so those are the facts. The fact is that this was an executive order single-handedly carried out by the President of the United States. It was not a law. I'm going to repeat that five times. It was not a law. It was an executive order that was administered by the President of the United States that went into immediate effect, calling it zero tolerance. It was a zero tolerance law that went into immediate effect and affected thousands of Central Americans and probably some South Americans who were crossing the border. So that all took place in April. That's very important to understand. It has escalated, and as people continue to come from those countries and other countries, so much so that there were makeshift facilities being set up as these children were being parted and ripped away from their parents, including mothers who were breastfeeding their children and had a child ripped away and taken off to a federal facility. So the parents were interned and arrested because of the act of setting foot on American soil, regardless if they were seeking a political asylum or not. They were deemed a criminal, and the children were taken off. So we heard rumblings of this for the last couple of weeks, to the point where now, for the last now 6 days or so, this has gotten into a full-scale blow-up nightmare, not only for those children and those parents, but for our country and the image that it has imposed across the world. Now, what Donald Trump is doing is using the children as a bargaining chip, because his intent and purpose, A, is to service and fulfill his campaign promises to the 27 or so odd percent of the Americans who support him, his hardcore supporters, and number two, to force the hand of Congress, particularly the Democrats, to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. So that's the bottom line. So my point is this. Number one, when you get into discussions or debates, you have to know your facts. You really have to know what you're talking about, because there are people, and I've had this discussion this week, who are extremely compelling, very convincing. They may be in powerful and influential places, and they don't know jack. They don't have the facts. They are misrepresenting what's taking place, and they're quite frankly, they're wrong. So you, it is really up to you, if you're really talking about finding your voice, you have to know what you're talking about. So I watch the news all the time, and I read newspapers, a lot of them now online. Most of my reading now is done online so that I can get a sense of what is really going on. And so I had some knowledge of this, but now I'm reading up on what's taking place and obviously watching news organizations and news programs to see what's happening. And this situation is ever changing. While I was preparing to come on the air, we had Melania Trump, the first lady, who secretly flew down to McAllen, Texas, and is now having a press briefing. She has visited a Lutheran facility in McAllen. That is one of the places where some of these children have ended up. And so they are now having a press release. I'm actually watching my television right now. So this is real time. If those of you who are listening after the fact, this is Thursday, June 21st, 2018. And so this story continues to grow. And she's there because her husband did such a terrible job in executing this executive order. It has just created rumblings all over the country, outside of the country. Pope Francis has denounced it. The United Methodist Church has denounced Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, who quoted Romans 13 as justification for separating the children from the parents. And so it just goes on and on and on. So yesterday, President Trump reversed his decision. He had signed that executive order. It was being implemented, signed again in April. And yesterday, June 20th, he reversed it and claims victory, went off and had a victory celebration in Minnesota, and he thinks everything is great. Everything is an absolute mess. Because let me give you the statistics. And again, when you find your voice, and I'm portraying this to you this way, because again, it's one thing to have an opinion, it's another thing to have the facts with your opinion, and it's another thing to have the data that supports your opinion as to why, in this case, this is an absolute mess. So there are, from May 5th until June 9th, now that's a 30-day period, and again, this started in April and has continued. We're right now into June 21st. But between that time period, there were a total of 2,235 families, 2,235 families, who were impacted by having their children taken away, of which there were 4,538 family members of these 2,200 families who were directly impacted. And then when you further dissected, you had 2,342 children who are now scattered all over the United States, probably 14 states or so. They've been flown up to New York. They've been flown to other parts of the country, and they're in lots of places now, in foster facilities, in other places that are probably already overcrowded. And so not only has this created a crisis, the way it was done for political purposes and not thought out whatsoever, you have authorities, you have state authorities, you have federal authorities who are scrambling, trying to figure out where these children are going to go. Now, these are children who are as young as 3 and 4 months old. I didn't say years, I said months. 3 or 4 months old, put in, quote, tender care, unquote, facilities, all the way up to 17 years. They are given in these very short temporary facilities where they've finally taken pictures and shown these pictures. They have blankets that are really just Mylar. That's that aluminum foil kind of material that runners use with marathons. They're using that to cover them up. And they have pizza and a whole lot of junk food that they're feeding them. And there's not much of a structure put in place, as we have seen, as these children, in some cases, are sitting literally in cages. In cages. I'm talking about cages that could be used for animals. And so that's what they're being exposed to. So think about the psychological impact of innocent children who have done absolutely nothing, with parents who are fleeing persecution, and I'll talk to you about that in just a second, in a system that is already in chaos because they hastily set up the system to rip these children away from parents, putting them in these temporary cages and then other facilities with no plan at all. So as you can tell, I am very angry about this. I am very angry, and I can't wait for an administrative change because of the chaos that continues because of this president. So that's where we stand in terms of that. Let me just share that the reason why the parents, these 4,538 family members in this particular instance, are leaving countries like Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, wonderful countries with beautiful people, is that those countries right now are under siege. Now, I will only speak for El Salvador because I have been to El Salvador and I've worked in El Salvador. I was there 12 years ago and worked with young people in a school setting, international program that was being held, and I was one of their paid speakers. So I went there not for humanitarian reasons. This was a business deal. And it was a wonderful trip. I learned, we went to a business school, one of their beautiful business schools. I went to the campus in El Salvador, and I learned for the first time, I had my laptop with me, about YouTube. I didn't know anything about YouTube, and those graduate students taught me about YouTube in El Salvador. So I want to mention that because there are lots of dynamic, wonderful things going on in El Salvador, and everybody in that country is not all caught up in drugs and other illicit activities. That is not the case. Sadly, because expansion of gang activities, drug use, etc., it has impacted people in many ways. Now, there's another thing. Again, I'm talking to you because I have been to El Salvador, and so I'm telling you what I know, is that the country is beautiful. The people are beautiful. They have lots of dynamic activities going on, but kidnapping has and is a huge problem in El Salvador. I'm speaking for that country. It was a problem in 2006 when I was there, and it's a problem now. It's probably grown in stature. Kidnapping is used not to kill people per se, but to extract money. And so you'll have whole groups of people who will be targeted, and a family member will be kidnapped, and they will want money from the family. So the family has to scrounge around, work with other family members, get money, and give it to the kidnapper, and then the family member is released. Now, that is generally how it works out. They generally, with the kidnapping, they don't kill people. Now, gang activities and drugs, that's a totally different matter. But kidnapping is a sport. Now, it's not just in El Salvador. Kidnapping is a problem across the globe. It's a problem here in this country. But it's particularly a problem in El Salvador because of the monetary impact and used as an economic engine in terms of the underworld in that activity. So if your cousin has been targeted in terms of being kidnapped, and your brother at 7 or 8 years old is being recruited into a gang, and you, the sister, are being silenced and said, don't say anything because we'll kill your whole family, then you're going to leave the country. Yeah. You're going to find any way to leave the country, and you're going to probably come to the United States because Canada is too far. So you are going to somehow miraculously, treacherously so, travel nights, walk, whatever it takes to get to the border and cross the border, knowing that there are going to be some consequences in place. But this is before this child separation piece. There are lots of Salvadorians in the U.S. They're here in Boston. There's a very large Salvadorian population in the city of Chelsea, Massachusetts. That's number one. Number two is that Americans and those who are from El Salvador, and I use that as an example, Guatemala is probably the same thing, is that those who do make it here, who live here, who become citizens, they send truckloads worth of money back home. So El Salvador, I know for a fact, largely economically so, has been held up because of family members and relatives from the United States shipping money back home in terms of wiring money. The wire transfer business is booming and it's big. So those are the facts. So my thing is, make sure you know the facts. Make sure you can really articulate what's taking place, the reasons why people are coming from those countries, what happens when they get here, and then obviously this absolute mess that we have that we're going to have to figure out. The reason why I am just on this, I am on this, I am on this, is that the president reversed his decision yesterday. He had no intention of doing it. He reversed his decision because good people like you stood up and said enough. Good people like you stood up and said enough. You didn't kowtow. You didn't say, oh, no, I may lose my job, or what will people say? You said enough. Even in a meeting this week that I was attending, a board meeting, I came out and I made a statement about how wrong it was what was taking place, and I sparred with the senior leader of this board meeting because his information was incorrect. So I'm not just telling you what to do. I'm telling you what I do regularly. I have a level of freedom to do this because I am independent. I'm an entrepreneur, and I have that kind of flexibility, but it doesn't mean you can't in your own way speak out also. If you know the facts, if you form opinions, if you write down what you're going to say so that when you're out talking with Joe Blow, who doesn't know what he's talking about, or is such a rampant political advocate that political advocacy has totally clouded him or her, and he or she doesn't know what they're talking about, you can correct them because you have influence over people that you don't even realize you have influence over. Let me say that it is safer to voice your opinions on Facebook than it is on LinkedIn. I do modify things that I say on LinkedIn because a lot of my clients are there, but a lot of my clients are on Facebook too. So I, at this point, people know who I am and what I do. So who I am and what I do, that's who I am. But if you're just venturing out in this, then I would say probably Facebook is a safer place, definitely Twitter. But again, whatever you say, be careful what you say. Now, you know, I've said some things this week, but I've still been careful about what I've said and where I've said it. So use caution. Know that people are going to read your comments. They're going to share them wherever you post them online. But for God's sake, have some kind of opinion, even if you don't, if you're not online, if you don't have an account with any of these particular social media platforms, that's okay. That's fine. But you still have a right to have an opinion. Twitter, by far, has the greatest leeway in terms of what people say. Right now, the First Lady, I think she's still in this facility, unless this is a replay that's taking place. And she said it's really bothered her to look at this, to be looking at this. So again, go online, see what comments are being made. And you can also go to social media platforms like Twitter and get a range of perspectives about this and other areas, a wide range from people all over the world. So even if you don't participate and you don't actively make your comments known online, I think you should still look at some of the comments and see what people are talking about so that you won't be completely ignorant. It is not acceptable to not know, not to find out, not to have some kind of internal opinion about this kind of issue, and to say, oh, I don't know what's going on. That's just not acceptable. Absolutely not acceptable. So I would encourage you, you may hear some lawn work going on outside. Hopefully that's not going to deter the last 3 minutes of this show. But we're just hoping that you will form your opinions, that you will be absolutely knowledgeable about what's taking place. You won't just talk off the cuff. And then maybe you can go back to somebody if you were wrong, that you actually can say, I apologize. I didn't have my facts correct. And I want you to know that, you know, I'm going to make sure that I do my research in the future. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And also, if you look at the cost factor, this is quite interesting. The cost factor is this. With these children that are now all over the country and the family members also, it's costing over $700 per person, $700 per person to house, clothe, and feed them during this internment process. Versus keeping the families together was $300 and some odd. So we're talking about a $400 increase in costs for a hasty decision that was made in April that doesn't have an end game in sight because of the mess that's taking place, and it's going to affect us all and impact us all. These are tough times we're living in, not impossible times. We've seen other times like this in past years in history, but the information that you gather and speaking out and having your voice is more important than ever because it can change circumstances. And in this case, with this situation with these children separated everywhere, it can still move in a much better reconciliation-oriented solution by people like you speaking up. Speak up. Find out what you need to know. Figure out how you can help and be a part of the solution and not part of the problem or the vacuum that gets filled by people who don't have your best interest at heart. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. We'll be back next week with another important show. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you go to my website, carolcopelandthomas.com, for all the special information that we have there for you. Make it a good day, week, or weekend. Take care now.